Jesus, light of the world, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask in your name. Amen. Please be seated. As a priest, I've conducted many baptismal services, and as most of you know, when we baptize someone, we baptize them by pouring water on their head and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I had a minister friend who came in a little different tradition. He baptized people, he said, by immersing them in water in the name of the Father, the Son, as he said, in the name of the Holy Ghost. So he was sharing about a time in which his three daughters were out behind the barn of their property, and they were playing church. And so one of the daughters was going to be baptizing the cat. And so dad kind of had to come around the corner. They didn't see him, but he was watching as she held this cat over this barrel of water. And she had was going to say the words that she had no doubt heard her father say many times before. So she began, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and in the Holy you go." Well, it took about 3 weeks for the scratches on her arms to heal, if they finally did. But for some people, baptism is a traumatic experience. For others, it's a glorious experience. And for still others, it is an experience that many may not remember because they were baptized as an infant, or maybe they were baptized at a time where they really didn't pay much attention to what was happening in the service. And so baptism can be quite an experience for some. And certainly that was the case for Jesus. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, as we heard last week in our gospel lesson, John the Baptist announced that he was the Lamb of God. And so in our gospel lesson today, John is reminding us of this account when Jesus was baptized and how he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so John was proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah that Israel was looking for. And so as Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, he was baptized in a really peaceful time in his life. Things were going well. In fact, things were going so well that he heard his Father in heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You really can't get much better than that. But when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit then, it says, drove him out into the wilderness to be tempted by God. So Jesus, after facing the calm waters of baptism, was now going to be facing the rough waters of temptation in the wilderness. And from those rough waters of temptation in the wilderness, he would then go on to face persecution. He would face rejection. He would face the ridicule of others. And ultimately, he would face the strife within the ranks of his own apostles and disciples. And so Jesus went from the calm waters of baptism now to the troubled waters of his life. And as I thought about this particular gospel lesson, I realized that Jesus throughout his life went through many troubled times. Not only did he deal with the emotional and spiritual challenges of the things that the troubled waters of his life, but he also had several occasions where he dealt directly with water. And on one occasion, of course, he was walking on the water to his disciples as they were in the midst of a storm. And on another occasion, he was in the back of a boat while the storm raged around him, and he had to get up and speak peace to the wind and the waves. And so Jesus was very familiar not only with the physical white water, if you will, of troubles in his life, but also with the physical challenges of the physical water in which he came so often. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a time that I went whitewater rafting. Any of you been whitewater rafting before? Well, it was for me, it was kind of an exhilarating and yet terrifying experience. And certainly, when I had the opportunity to go whitewater rafting, it was a chance for me to experience something that I had never experienced before. As I reflected on that experience, I realized that there were some parallels between whitewater rafting and the Christian life, the Christian faith. So I printed up something in your bulletin that you might want to get out that be as a little reminder of the principles I'm going to be sharing with you. Because what I want to talk about are some principles of whitewater rafting and how they relate to us as Christians and to our life in Christianity. So the first principle of whitewater rafting is, whitewater is what you came for, so enjoy it. Whitewater is what you came for, so enjoy it. The Christian life is not supposed to be a life without struggle. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. My tendency is to look at the problems that I have in life, the challenges, the troubles and trials that I face, as being something that is bad. Then I remember coming across a passage in the book of James which says this, count it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. End quote. When we realize that the trials that we have in our lives are either caused by our own sin or by something that God is allowing to happen, then that can help us to have a better perspective on the things that happen to us. If those things are caused by our own sin, then perhaps we just need to take our lumps and learn from the experience. Some of you may remember the televangelist Jim Baker, who defrauded many of his donors out of money and was arrested and put in prison. When he came out of prison, he seems to have become a changed man. He seems to not be guided by the same principles that guided him before. And perhaps he learned from that experience. And so we too, when we go through times and trial in our life, trouble in our life, which are caused by our own sin, maybe we can learn from those experiences and begin moving in a different direction. But then there are other experiences that happen to us that really are not related to our sin specifically, but just things that happen to us. And certainly those things are things that that perhaps we may not realize, but God might want to use those things as things that can help develop within us what are called the fruit of the Spirit. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those characteristics that God is trying to develop within us, some of those things God may be trying to develop within us in the midst of the troubles and the white water that we're going through at that time in our lives. I hate to be late just to places. And I'll make sure that I leave extra time so that I'm not late somewhere. But on an occasion, when I'm on the freeway, maybe traffic will be stopped and backed up, and I realize that I'm going to be late. And that just drives me up the wall. And so I start talking to the cars ahead of me. Come on, would you hurry up and move? What's going on? I'm going to be late. Come on. And I start yelling at the cars ahead of me, thinking that somehow they're going to hear me and begin to move rapidly out of my way. But obviously that doesn't happen. What I realize is that I may not understand why that's happening, but it could be that God is protecting me from some future calamity down the road, or maybe God has directed me in some other way that it might keep me from something harmful in my life, or he may have another reason for my being particularly late to this particular occasion. And so sometimes I need to stop it and to think, why is this happening? Is this something that God has tried to use to develop something within me or to teach me something about my life? Back to my analogy, if life is what we're created to live, then we can view our life much like whitewater rafting. That's why we came. So enjoy it. You know, sometimes people have a hard time just enjoying life. And perhaps if you're in that category, maybe you might begin to think and pray about, what do I need to do to begin to enjoy life again? The second principle of whitewater rafting is this. If you come to a calm place, rest, for there will surely be whitewater later on. There will be times in our lives or the life of the church that will be rather peaceful and calm. And it's during those times that we should just enjoy things and rest. Maybe time when we should work on our spiritual life and try to build our spiritual life up in preparation for the whitewater times that might come in the future. It's important to remember that the peaceful, calm waters are not normal for the Christian life. But while they're here, we should certainly try to enjoy them. And we can't always expect that they will be there. The third principle of whitewater rafting is, when you get into the whitewater, never stop paddling, even when it seems hopeless. Our guide told us that when we get going, we need to start just, when he says to paddle, we need to paddle with all of our might. And so as we do so, then we'll get where we're going. And certainly, we as Christians realize that difficult times and circumstances come into our lives. It's easy for us to get discouraged. It's easy for us just to say, why should I even bother trying to live the Christian life? Why should I even bother trying to be a Christian? I mean, it's too much effort. It's not worth the effort. We have to realize that sometimes we need to keep paddling, even when it seems hopeless. We sometimes feel like giving up, and we actually shouldn't do that. You might remember the Apostle Peter when he was in the boat and Jesus came walking to him on the water. Jesus said to him, come on, Peter, step out of the boat and come to me. And Peter did so in obedience to Christ, and he began to actually walk on the water. But then what happened was he began to take his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to look down at the water and the wind around him, and he began to sink into the water. So the point is, never stop paddling. Never give up. Continue to paddle until the Lord tells you to stop. And keep your eyes on Jesus. The fourth principle of whitewater rafting is, if you get into trouble, don't panic and remember the people around you. In our raft, we had a number of people in the raft, and we all had a kind of a role to play in the success of getting through the whitewater. And certainly we had to work as a team in order to accomplish that feat. We as Christians sometimes feel like that when we go through troubled times or difficult times in our lives, that we should just buck up and try to solve it ourselves. But that kind of goes against what Jesus in Scripture says, that we are to help bear one another's burdens. And so it's important sometimes, I think, for us to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to seek their help to get us through that troubled time, that whitewater experience in our life. Sometimes we need to reach out to family members or to friends that we know and engage them and help them to have them help us through the difficult times in our lives. It's so easy to be a Lone Ranger Christian and just try to live our lives without anybody else's help. But sometimes we need to reach out to someone. We also need to realize that we as a church should be paddling in the same direction. And each person has a different role to fulfill. But as we do so, we begin to move toward the goal of serving Christ and one another. The fifth principle of whitewater rafting is this. If you do go under, let go of everything. When they were giving instructions to us before we got into the raft, he said, it might happen that your raft turns over and that you are dumped into the water. Well, that didn't give me a whole lot of confidence as we prepared to go whitewater rafting, but what he was saying is, if the raft tips over, don't hang on to the rope, but let go of it, otherwise you're going to be held under and you might drown. And so that's what can happen to us as Christians. We can hang on to things that we might need to let go of, and those things may be holding us down, holding us under the water of life. I met a woman many years ago that came to the church, and she was a woman who was very angry about things. She had had a tragedy in her life, and had her family had kind of done some things that made her angry, and so she was very angry and bitter. In fact, she was kind of drowning in anger and bitterness. And so she came and she ended up making everybody else around her angry and mad as well. And so all this happened because she just wouldn't let go of the hurts of the past. Sometimes when you go under in life, you need to let go of some things that you're doing. Too often I've seen people who are struggling in life try to hold on to some church responsibility and end up becoming embittered against the church, or they end up not doing a good job with their ministry or their role or their group. And so what happens so often is that people just continue to do the things that might be holding them under. What's important to me is your spiritual health. Sometimes that may mean giving up a ministry or a role or a job that you're doing just to kind of regroup and get your life together again before you do that. Now, I realize in saying this, that I ran the risk of everybody saying, okay, I'm tired now, I'm going to give up on all my ministries and not doing anything anymore. Well, that's not what I'm saying, of course. There, many of you want to continue on doing the things that you're doing. There may be even some here that maybe you've been taking a break for long enough. Maybe it's time now to get involved in something and to do something. But obviously we have a job to play as members of the church, but not when it means bringing about the causing us to become unhealthy in terms of our relationship with the Lord and with others within the church. Important thing about your life is to get it right side up again, to get right with Jesus, to get right with yourself, maybe to get right with your friends or your family or fellow church members. If you go under, let go of the things that are keeping you under at that time. The sixth principle of whitewater rafting is don't be surprised if the boat doesn't go where you want it to go. When we were whitewater rafting, we were sometimes paddling all that we could, but we weren't getting anywhere. We were just being taken downstream by the current. And sometimes in our lives, we may not always get what we want. We may find that the direction that we want to go in our lives isn't the direction that we end up going. And so we can become frustrated with that. Some people are afraid to fully commit their lives to Christ, or they're afraid of being, as John the Baptist talked about today, being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, because they're afraid of the direction their life might go. We like to have our lives nicely charted out, and we don't like surprises, and so when things don't go in the direction we want them to go, sometimes we become uncomfortable or maybe even insecure. Sometimes the church makes some changes not related to the essential elements of the faith that might make us upset or uncomfortable. I remember many years ago when they changed the prayer book. The prayer book changed back in 1979, and so there were some people that were very upset about that. So upset that they abandoned ship. They jumped out of the raft. They left the church. And so it's easy for us to get upset about things that may not be as important as we think that they are. And certainly, if we feel like the direction of the church is not going the direction we want it to go, start out by praying for the church. Pray for the direction of the church. Talk to the guide and see if that can help at all. Look at the owner's manual, the scriptures, to see if the Bible can maybe give us some direction. And then realize that you're in the boat with your friends, and that you can be with your friends wherever that boat may go and the direction it heads. The seventh principle of whitewater rafting is this. Someone needs to call out the orders clearly. It works better that way. When we were in the raft, or we get ready to get into the raft, there was a particular guide that was giving us instructions. And I really liked him. I thought he would be a great guy to have. When they came to dividing up the people into the different rafts, I got a different guide. I really didn't like my guide. I wanted the other guide. But as we got in the boat, he began to give us instructions, things we needed to know, things like which side of the raft to paddle on, things he told us how he was going to warn us about the dangers ahead. He told us how he would help us to maneuver around the dangerous spots in the river. And as I believe that as he did so, I really began to grow to like him, and at the end of our journey, I really felt like that he was someone that I could respect as a guide. I believe it's important to have a priest or a spiritual director or a mature Christian friend who is more mature than we are who can give us some advice and guidance in our lives. My job as pastor is to try to get you first to look to Jesus, who is the ultimate guide for our lives, and then also to point you to the Word of God, who can also give us direction and guidance in our lives, and then to be available, maybe to supplement that if further guidance is needed. And certainly I try to listen to the Lord and seek His direction when I'm seeking to give advice or guidance to others. I don't always succeed at that. I'm not always successful, but that's certainly one of my roles as a priest of the church. When we first got into our raft, I didn't trust what the guide was saying in terms of what we needed to do, and yet as we went on, I realized that he knew what he was talking about, and I could trust his guidance to get us to the end of the trip. Each priest feels like that he is called by God to give direction and guidance to the church, but certainly each priest needs the prayers and support of the people of the raft or the church in order to be successful in the journey. I've been blessed to have such a supportive and helpful congregation here. And so certainly I haven't been wanting in terms of having people being supportive and praying for me and for the direction of our church. We encountered a lot of whitewater as a church back in 2007, 2008, when we left the Episcopal Church. It was a very turbulent time. And so it could be that in the future there might be other occasions of whitewater happening in our congregation. But then, hey, that's why we came. Let us rest when we need to rest, paddle when we need to paddle, even when it seems hopeless. And let's not panic when we get into trouble, but remember the people around us. If we go under, let us let go of everything that holds us under without letting go of Jesus. Remember that each one of us is important to the success of this raft, this church. And as we work, pray, and give for the success of this particular raft, this particular church, we know that we are going to find fulfillment ultimately in the plans of God and of His kingdom downriver. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have given us this raft, this church in which to be working together as we move down the river of life. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to learn the lessons that we need to learn to successfully navigate all the storms, all of the turbulent white water that we face. Help us ultimately to rely upon one another and to seek the help of one another. Help us to not become discouraged and give up seeking to live the Christian life. Help us ultimately to keep our eyes focused on You, even when things seem to be turning upside down. And Lord, we ask that You would direct and guide us along the rivers of our own individual Christian lives and also along the river of life for this church. We need Your help, and we ask that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we might successfully navigate all of the things that lie ahead of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.